Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Zach Meckler.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and today I am joined by, well, one of my other brothers from another mother. It's been a little while. It's been a minute. He's back, though, taking the place of my other cohort and colleague in crime. But if we had any other better of a bank robbery driver, it would be the professor, Zach Meckler. Zach, what's going on, my friend?
Not too much. Just glad to be back. It's been a minute. You know, life's been hectic and busy and being pulled in 15 different directions, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
sometimes I would, and I'm going to be on a long-deserved vacation here. So Brian's going on vacation too, but I think we've got I think we're going to have everything sorted out. It's going to look good. So, but anyways, you know, I was just thinking about the bank robbery thing. It's that Snickers commercial where, like, probably someone's mom recognizes the guy and she's like, Pete Zacharine. And I was thinking of you. Like, whenever I hear that, I think I hear Zach is what I hear in that. So, no, that would be kind of interesting scenario there. But there's no one better. I think I would have all you guys for a heist, or maybe even a better. I don't know. This may be, you're a little younger than myself and Brian, but you ever watched the Lethal Weapon movies?
I've caught bits and parts. Never been my type of thing, though.
So, oh, man. Well, they obviously it's Mel Gibson, it's Danny Glover, it's Riggs and Murtaugh, and Danny Glover's character is, you know, heading into retirement as a cop. They're cops. It's a buddy cop movie, right? I fancy myself the Mel Gibson type character. I think I'm a little crazy. Although Brian could be, but Brian is getting too old for this stuff. They don't say stuff. He says something else. Danny Glover does, as he's trying to head into retirement. And then they add Joe Pesci in, I think, the second movie, actually. I know he's in the third, and then they made a fourth movie that's kind of eh. But you're kind of like the extra guy here, the third wheel. And he has a character named Leo Getz, and it's pretty classic. I would encourage you to check it out because there's still a lot of comedy to it. But, yeah, it's the 80s, man. I mean, you got a lot of buddy cop movies and action movies, and that was pretty much all the genres. Now everything's just either a remake or a superhero movie, so which we don't even get that right now. So, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, we make fun of that, you know, oh, I'm getting tired of this. Well, it'd be nice. I mean, I know some of the movie theaters around here are finally getting started up, and they were showing a lot of classic stuff. Like, I know Ghostbusters was being shown, and maybe, like, I don't know, Karate Kid, and of course, like, maybe, like, I don't know, Casablanca or something, but I don't know. I don't get too far into the classics. I know a lot about a lot of useless information about movies, but it'll be nice, maybe once again, maybe in August, maybe we'll all be social distance. I'll be able to get a nice big tub of popcorn and get a refill on it too. So I've missed the popcorn, but being the moviegoer that I am. But anyways, that's where you stand. So you need to check that out, man.
I'll get on. Don't you worry.
No, you won't. You're busier than I am. I haven't watched a whole lot of anything when it comes to movies, unless it's for my daughter, my 6-year-old daughter. And we just watched The Spies in Disguise with Will Smith and Tom Holland, where Will Smith, they turn him into a pigeon or whatever. It's animated. And he's like, I don't know. It's like a James Bond thing. But the secret thing is that he's disguised as a pigeon. Actually kind of interesting. Not a terrible movie. I know there's, like, some kids movies I really roll my eyes at, as I roll my eyes even at this topic today. The Steelers on the hot seat. There's a lot of, like, chitter chatter and jibber jabber going around on the social media, internet, things of that nature. So I think we need to throw some names out and ask whether or not they are on the hot seat. And has almost been tradition recently, we've started with quarterback. And there's a whole bunch of them here that could be on the hot seat. So let's just do almost like, if we do these one by one almost, Zach, we're going to talk for 3 hours. So I think we just need to rifle this out right now. Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges, Paxton Lynch. And I'm going to say, obviously, Ben's not on the hot seat. He's got a lot to prove. I think there's a chip on his shoulder. For me, I don't think he's in a hot seat when I view it from the organization's perspective. They're going to ride and die with Ben. Otherwise, they would have done something different already. Mason Rudolph, I think, is there through his rookie contract regardless, unless there's some reason he comes in 2020, provided, of course, with all of the air quotes that we will have a full football season. He comes in, unless he stinks the joint up, he's not going anywhere. I think the guys that are on the hot seat, and the only reason he's on the hot seat, Duck Hodges, because he's always been on the hot seat. Undrafted guy, ended up playing as a rookie, not thrown into the most ideal conditions, coming in cold against the Ravens and, you know, just getting benched, coming back, all these other things. I think a lot of people just automatically assume after everybody wanted to put the giant duck back in the Three Rivers, then all of a sudden they hate him, right? And I'm just like, I don't know where the hate is. I don't know where they think that he's necessarily threatened. If he goes into whatever training camp that they end up having and he's just clearly not good, which was not the case last year. Remember all the hype and all the talk during training camp, things overheard at camp. Everyone was talking about whether this guy could, you know, like make the team be a big deal, right? And we're all like, hey, this guy's like the camp arm. What's everybody talking about? Well, that camp arm now is Paxton Lynch. There's no real hot seat for Paxton Lynch, although if he doesn't make this team, he's pretty much, I don't know that he's got a job left in the NFL unless somebody else scouted him. But it's definitely Duck Hodges' job to lose if Paxton Lynch looks sharp and Duck Hodges doesn't, which was kind of the same paradigm you had last year with Josh Dobbs and Mason Rudolph fighting for the number two spot.
Yeah, I am with you there. I think really big, you know, Big Ben, obviously, they're going to ride until the wheels fall off. There's no reason not to. I think even if he goes and shows that he clearly falls off the wagon, there's no reason at all that they're not going to play him. You know, Mason Rudolph, as much as fans want to bash him, he did enough in my mind to think that he's going to be the number two. And I think, honestly, if he doesn't get hurt in that Jets game, I think he ends up staying the starter the rest of the season. You know, I just, in my mind, I think the hot seat becomes between Hodges, Lynch, and JT Barrett, which I'm surprised you didn't mention. Joe's an Ohio State guy.
Well, I got some reserved opinions about, he's got some stats, but he played 4 years. Look at the guys he played with. He had Ezekiel Elliott for a year or two. He had Michael Thomas, who's with the Saints. He has guys that are like bona fide all pros now in the NFL, and he put up numbers. But I went to the Big Ten title game in Indianapolis several years ago when they played Wisconsin, and I was begging to put Dwayne Haskins in. I was not. JT Barrett, like, he was throwing balls into the ground, and just, I understand it's one game. A lot of times Ohio State mows over their competition based on all the other talent they have. Let's not even talk about like defense, all the guys they had like in the secondary and that front seven that are, you know, bona fide NFL guys right now too. So I take it with a grain of salt. Yeah, he put up a bunch of these numbers, and it's hard to believe he put up numbers more than other guys, but Ohio State was always like a running ground game-oriented team. It wasn't like Troy Smith, who was on the Steelers training camp roster something many, many years ago, as he was with the Ravens. It's not like those guys usually, you know, leap into the NFL as a legit quarterback talent. Dwayne Haskins is, you know, one of the exceptions there. But I think guys, I even go back to like Kirk Herbstreit and guys like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I know. Being the Buckeyes fan, I overlook JT Barrett. But I see JT Barrett as somebody that's helping prepare this team to face certain looks and certain offenses, prepare the defense, such as Lamar Jackson, for example, versus maybe being a legitimate threat to Duck and or Paxton Lynch for that matter.
I know he's definitely the clear number five in my mind. I really think the difference is going to be here. You know, the Steelers have a clear love for pedigree guys. And even though Paxton Lynch's career hasn't been anything that, you know, his draft status would indicate, you know, he still is a former first round guy. He still had traits that made him a desirable guy to potentially look at in the first round. I think if there was someone that would push Hodges, it would be him. I know fans will say, well, he didn't do it last year, whenever Hodges was doing all the stuff he was doing. But, you know, he came in late area. You know, he had a very sound preseason last year at the Seahawks. I honestly thought he was going to stick with the Seahawks last year. You know, and he came in last minute. They needed a body, and they added him to there. You're throwing a guy into the ringer. It's not like he's some off-the-street veteran that you can just bring in because he's experienced and can just mesh with any system. You know, Hodges at least had the entire offseason, the entire training camp, and to that point, the entire season to get used to the system. So if there was one person upon the hot seat, it would be Duck Hodges. And I don't think it's any lack of talent on his part necessarily. I just think it's the fact that he still is an undrafted guy. I think as the dust started to settle on the hype around him last year, I think some of his true colors and talent as a quarterback started to come out. He is an undrafted guy that's going to need time to develop. And I don't know how patient the Steelers will be with him especially if Paxton Lynch flashes enough in training camp. Because Paxton Lynch, I think, has the stronger arm in terms of, you know, being able to push the ball downfield, which is something the Steelers like to do with Ben. You know, and again, there's that pedigree. I'm not saying Paxton Lynch is ever going to be the answer or even an answer. I'm just saying that, you know, I think if anyone's going to push Hodges, it'll be him. And Hodges, I think, is firmly on the hot seat because I don't see a way where he jumps Rudolph as the number two unless there is some injury or, you know, if Rudolph also just falls off the face of the earth, which I think he's going to continue growing. I don't know if he'll ever be the heir apparent to Ben, but I think he's going to keep growing and be a fine number two, at least for the time being.
Yep.
If Hodges had to go, it's Hodges.
Yeah, and, you know, Brian's mentioned that too about him being a firm number two, and I guess we'll see. I mean, it's a good problem to have. New England had a similar problem a few years ago. I remember Brady sat out like the first four games, and they had Jimmy G, and then Jimmy G got hurt, and they had to go to Jacoby Brissett. And when you have guys who have starting experience, that's very valuable because it's rare. It doesn't always happen. Most experience should, and in this case, I think most experience was good. I think we beat this to death with who played in what games, depth charts, this and that, snap counts, and we see the full picture. Most of the people who have been following our podcast here for a while see that full picture. I think it's the people that look on the outside and go, well, they didn't make the playoffs, and I don't even know that they watched the games. They're just like, well, this guy sucks, and it's like, it wasn't like, you know, Rudolph wasn't like an interception machine by any stretch of the imagination. He had the one bad game where I pointed out on Thursday Night Football in a short week playing the Cleveland Browns that he was pretty much terrorized because he was missing James Conner. They were also missing Benny Snell. They were missing, I think, Juju came out of that game or got hurt. Conner may have started that game and got hurt too. And then Deontay Johnson got knocked out by Demaryius Randle. I mean, there was nobody there. They're just here's a uniform, go out there and play, you know what I mean, on a short week when they're already gassed. So you take those four interceptions out of there, and he only threw five out of the other 10 games that he appeared with eight starts. That's pretty solid. A duck threw five touchdowns to eight interceptions in eight games. Yeah, it looked a little uglier later on. You know, but we had problems like all year long, the Steelers have, with guys who just weren't catching passes. Even you go back to that New England game where Ben was the quarterback. Everybody made fun of Dante Moncrief, but he wasn't the only guy that was dropping passes. Vance McDonald's dropping passes. James Conner's dropping passes. Juju, like, dropped a couple easy ones. And, you know, it's got to be in a vacuum, too, because a few of these guys are already guys that are going to be named here shortly. But it's all in a vacuum. Guys aren't always going to catch everything. It just seemed like it was a spotlight was shined on this stuff because of the way the season ended up turning out. If they end up making the playoffs, if they somehow miraculously, and they could have won one or two more games, especially earlier on in the season, we may not be having all of these same conversations. You may be calling one of these guys a hero. I might as well, I don't know, I want to flip a coin as far as the running backs or the wide receivers now that I mentioned them. Let's go with the running backs. A lot of people, and I talk about this, you know, from a perspective of, we just talk about putting the duck in the river, but how many people bought a James Conner jersey when he was drafted several years ago in 2017? One of the hottest selling jerseys, and Le'Veon Bell was still the starter. Albeit, you know, his antics, sitting out and then showing up week one and all these other things. But James Conner is so loved, you know, being a Pennsylvania guy, being a Pitt guy. And now all of a sudden it's like people are trying to show him the door just because he couldn't stay healthy, or he had some injury issues that may not necessarily be, you know, entirely his fault. Things happen. And we used to have these conversations about Lev Bell back in the day too. And and those were from hits as well, where, you know, you get taken out of the game and what are you going to do? I think that the case is that Connor's might not have been highlighted as being as severe as Bell's injuries. So maybe he didn't get the same kind of pass. But then again, Bell didn't get that pass back then either. He's the only running back I have on the hot seat. There's no reason to put any of the other guys on there because they're all under rookie deals and they still got a lot of they still have time to prove their value in the NFL to the Pittsburgh Steelers, like a Jalen Samuels, like a Benny Snell. I don't think any of these guys are in any jeopardy rate of losing their job right now. The reason James Conner, probably the only reason he has the hot seat lit under him, this is his last year of his rookie deal. Will the team bring him back? There's a decision to be made here, and they can't really make that decision until they see whether or not he can play maybe more than 10 or 12 games. If he could be a guy that could be a 16-game guy, and still produce to a very high level.
Yeah, actually, I'm gonna flip the script here. I the only two guys I think that are in the running back room that aren't quote unquote on the hot seat are Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland. You know, I think mainly because one, Anthony McFarland's a fourth round rookie. And then you have Benny Snell, obviously, who stepped in and kind of became the feature back. I think he proved enough to warrant another shot here going into second year. Beyond that, I agree that James Conner's on the hot seat. I don't think he's on the hot seat in terms of his job now. He's on the hot seat in the terms of, can he stay healthy? Is he going to get a decent contract after this one expires, either with Pittsburgh or with another team? That's why he's on the hot seat. In my mind, he's auditioning right now for the following year. We know what he can do when he's healthy. You know, with 2018, fans are so quick to forget that 2018 season where when he was healthy, you know, he was a Pro Bowl caliber running back and one of the top guys. I know I drafted him late in fantasy, and that obviously paid off well for me as I handcuffed the Bell. You know, so I think that he's in the hot seat in terms of, can he go through not even a 16-game season healthy, but can he make it even, you know, 13, 14 games and stay healthy, not leave games because of nagging, you know, whatever. So I really think that's why he's on the hot seat in that terms. Now, when you go beyond that, my explanation for why guys like Jalen Samuels are on the hot seat, I don't know how the team or how the team's going to view him. James Conner stays healthy. You have Anthony McFarland, who I think kind of supplants. Obviously, we're speculating what a rookie's going to do. You know, what a fourth-round rookie running back's going to do. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to be the answer in that regard. But a lot of the things that McFarland that Samuels does well, McFarland did well in college and then some. The only difference is the fact that he's not built the same way, but he does pack some punch for a guy his size. I think Samuels has such a niche role on this roster in terms of just being that kind of receiving back type of deal that whenever Connor's healthy, you don't see it as often, especially if Ben's healthy, I should say, because the offense, I'm not going to look at the offenses last year after Ben went down as being an indication we're going to see, because we're not going to see, I don't think we're going to see all that Wildcat stuff. As long as Ben's healthy, Ben's going to be on the field, you know? So I think that takes away another hat from Samuels. I think you look at the fact that if Connor's healthy, Connor can be a receiving threat for you. I don't think there's a need to put Samuels in there except for just giving him blows. And if McFarland steps up in the preseason, do you really need a back that can do that as his primary role? I think he's decent enough as a ball carrier. I just don't think that's his best pure fit. And the one name that, you know, I was excited when the Steelers brought on last year, and I wish that we would have seen more, is Kareth White. I'm not going to say Kareth White's on the hot seat because it's kind of hard to be on the hot seat when you're on a team for half the year and you're a seventh round pick and, you know, you're kind of the odd man out already. But especially now that I think if you had to get a comparison type, it would be Anthony McFarland. The Steelers just put stock in him. And by drafting Anthony McFarland, in my mind, I take that as a sign that they didn't think that Kareth White's skill set was valuable enough to warrant not getting a guy that was very similar in that regard. So really, in my mind, the only two guys that are truly protected in any regard are Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland Jr. You know, I think Connor is, just because he's the starter. I'm not going to mention Trey Edmonds because I think he's only lingering on the roster because of depth issues. And somehow, I always forget Ralph Webb is still kind of lingering around. I know the average fan probably can't even pick him out of a crowd, but I just think those guys are kind of on the outside looking in to begin with. But so Kareth White, Jalen Samuels, I think are the two that you're going to see fighting for a lot of ground to try to see if they can sneak on as a fourth back, because I just think that Connor, McFarland, and Snell are all locks to make the roster barring some sort of injury. And I don't think the Steelers are going to keep five backs. You know, so in my mind, you have to look, especially when you have the addition of Derek Watt. Something's got to give. I know being on the hot seat is kind of a really speculative argument whenever it comes to guys that are fringe roster players to begin with. But I think Jalen Samuels has been a fixture enough in that backfield to warrant putting him on the hot seat list, even though he's on a rookie contract. If you don't think there's going to be a real defined role for him beyond just a depth piece, special teams guy, and the occasional receiving type back option.
Ooh, well, I've got some words in defense of Jalen Samuels, and it has nothing to do with the Wildcat, by the way. I really think part of his inclusion on the team, I think some of it may have been that they weren't sure of the type of receiving back that Connor could be. Yeah. I think another part of this is the goal line situation. And one thing Jalen Samuels does is score touchdowns. Can Benny Snell be the guy? Can he be the hammer to knock it in? I mean, Terrell Watson, the nightmare. You know, he had a short cup of coffee here in Pittsburgh, but he was brought in just to gain 1 or 2 yards here or there. And Jalen Samuels is a guy that, you know, he didn't necessarily have a defined role, and that was part of the reason he fell into the fifth round. Where do you place him at? I think that's why he stays. is because there's a precedent here where the Steelers also had Will Johnson as a fullback and kept David Johnson, if you remember, who was another guy who didn't necessarily have the defined role. You could put him in as a tight end. You could have him in the backfield. And they did that, maybe not often, but maybe just enough to have that wrinkle to their offense. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't necessarily disagree with what you said. I just kind of see that maybe there's enough room here because I don't know. Are they going to throw balls at Derek Watt? It could happen. I mean, they found out Rosie Nicks could catch the ball in the most unlikely of ways, and all of a sudden he started getting worked in. Before that, that guy was never seen anything thrown his way. So, you know, it's one of those things. Speaking of throwing the ball to other guys, let's rifle through some of the wide receivers. Let me not start with the obvious name. James Washington, hot seat or not hot seat?
No.
I don't think so either.
Not yet.
No. Still plenty of time, but he's going to be looking over his shoulder because of Chase Claypool.
Yes.
That's also the reason Juju's probably going to be looking over his shoulder too, but that's kind of the grouping there. Deontay Johnson, safe for sure. Unfortunately for Deion Kane, maybe an odd man out with just the numbers thing is going to be interesting here when it comes to the expansion of the roster, expansion of game day. You're going to be able to add people, but then you have to subtract. I don't know why they just didn't do it here. You have this many guys, period. You know what I mean? So it's going to be a little weird to see how transaction wire is going to work this year. Ryan Switzer, without a doubt, is on the hot seat because everyone else that I named – Once he got hurt and once his special teams job went away, that was part of the reason. It was that extra ability, that extra that he offered there. I don't know that he offers enough otherwise, which is sad because we were all very excited to have this guy come to the team, be a possession receiver, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see. We know Ben likes him, think his seat's hot. Me and you have discussed the Juju factor. You don't know for sure that he will be a Steeler next year. In fact, you've hedged your bet on saying he won't. I'm saying I don't know how they can let him go. They bring in Chase Claypool. Juju kind of regresses or doesn't have like that standout season that we thought he was going to have. Mind you, a lot of that due to quarterback play last year too. Offensive play in general. I don't like to pin it just on the quarterbacks, but hey, is what it is. There wasn't the same chemistry there as there may have been with Ben. We'll see what ends up happening with Juju. Juju has a big year if there's a big contract, but yet they work in Chase Claypool and feel they get the same thing. I really don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how hot the seat is for Juju. I would say James Conner's seat's a lot hotter for a variety of reasons. I would say that Juju is enough a body of work, usually not injury prone, et cetera, to where I believe there's a little bit of heat there. There's just not like this blazing fire that some may be thinking about when it comes to talking about him getting another contract.
Yeah, no, I think his seat's warm, and that's why I was gonna mention that. I don't think he's in the same playing field as Connor, because I think Connor, if he gets hurt again this year, his deal is he going to get paid on next contract? You know, I think Juju could have the same year, and you know, I'm sure people disagree with this. I think he could have the same caliber year or a little bit better than what he had last year. I still think he's going to get paid by some team because the body of work is there, especially if it's by a team that maybe already has like an established number one receiver on a rookie deal and they give him a short type of deal to give him a 1-2. I just think that the body of work has been good enough to prove that he's going to at least get a decent contract. The reason his seat is warm in my mind is he going to get a contract from Pittsburgh or is he going to get a contract someplace else? So in Pittsburgh's eyes, I see it as being warm. And I also agree with you that, you know, I think the top spots are kind of settled at this point, barring some unforeseen explosion by a player. I think regardless of what the chemistry is going to look like with Ben, your top guys are going to be Juju, James Washington, Deontay Johnson, and Chase Claypool. This is going to be the nature of what that top four looks like. Those are going to be the guys you see on the field the most. I think Juju has some wiggle room, or the Steelers have some wiggle room with Juju because of the fact that Deontay Johnson takes that sophomore leap that I think every fan in Pittsburgh is hoping to see him take. And if James Washington continues that second half surge that he did over the last eight games of the season where he really was kind of becoming the vertical threat the Steelers wanted him to be, and depending on what Chase Claypool can be as a rookie, you have to start asking yourself, is Juju really going to be worth paying, you know, $15, $16 million a year that he likely will get if he has another big year? He's worth keeping on the roster. It's just whether or not the team thinks he's worth paying. And that was my whole argument before. I'm not bashing Juju the player. I think last year I still believe was more of a fluke. We had 1.5 games to really see him perform. And then, you know, the quarterback play kind of fell off the wheels. And he did well when he had Ben there. I mean, he had a good game against the Patriots. He had a good game against the 49ers, where even though Ben got, or, Ben was unavailable, the Seahawks, and then Ben was unavailable for the 49ers. He had good games because the schemes hadn't really started to change that much yet. And once teams started keying in and realizing what they had with Mason Rudolph, it kind of became a, best of luck, hold your breath type of situation. I don't see a scenario where any guy on this roster is worth being on the hot seat except for Ryan Switzer, Deion Kane. And I'm going to say Deion Kane because, again, same reason with Kareth White, mid to late season acquisition that really kind of never had a whole lot of traction with the team. Switzer has been on the team now for a couple years, and his role, especially whenever Ben got hurt last year, seemed to dwindle. And I know he's a true slot receiver, but I really think you don't need a true slot receiver with a guy like him when you have a guy who, like Juju, who does his best body of work in the slot. And I think you have enough bodies now to mix and match and push guys around, with Chase Claypool being an outside guy, Deontay Johnson being inside, outside, and Washington really being a pure outside guy. I think you have room to really keep Juju in his comfort, and that's being a one-on-one matchup nightmare in the slot. At what point does Switzer become a necessity for you to do that? I don't really see Switzer as being a guy that's going to come in and blow the world on, set the world on fire in terms of production during training camp. I really think that's where it's going to be. If he makes the roster, it's going to be because of his relationship with Ben, because Ben trusts him as just a check down, lob it down option. But I think as a return guy, I think he's losing ground with guys like Deontay Johnson. Maybe they try to give Anthony McFarland some looks as a return guy. I don't think you need Switzer on the roster as much as you might have this time last year. And I really think that he is firmly on the hot seat of all these receivers just due to the fact of how long he's been around and what we've seen him do compared to what he actually has the potential in terms of obstacles for this upcoming season.
Yeah, well, how about the tight ends then? Because you got some more guys that Ben could or should trust with Vance McDonald and Eric Ebron. And, you could probably flip a coin on either one of them, because Ebron's coming off of an injury and he's signing a contract. And if he doesn't live up to expectation, he could go the way of Ladarius Green. Vance McDonald, he reworked his contract so he could stay. And I think he's well-liked. I think he's a valuable piece. And, again, we've kind of tried to put out the fire of that, a little bit of the myth of him missing so many games, just not being – totally being kind of untrue. I mean, there was a spell there, when he first came to the team, and he wasn't able to get on the field, but he's played 15 and 14 games in the last two seasons compared to when he first came and only played in 10. He was hurt to start the year, and then he got hurt in the middle of it, et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of made the tight end position a little erratic, where you do need somebody, you do need an extra body. Zach Gentry is the guy that they brought in to be kind of developmental. We've talked about him being raw. I don't know that there's anyone that's going to push him or bump him off the roster necessarily when you look at somebody like Christian Scotland-Williamson or even Kevin Rader. They've been more or less practice squad guys. So I don't really see any fires lit under any of the tight ends.
Gentry's it, and I'm going to say very light flame, like maybe that of a handheld lighter kind of hot flame underneath the seat, because I don't really see him – he's going to be the number three going into camp. And I really don't, unless, I have hopes that Christian Scotland-Williamson can be something, but at the end of the day, I don't really think he's ever going to get to that point. Kevin Rader, I think, is a plus run blocker. I don't think he really offers a whole lot beyond that world. So really, Gentry is going to be the guy, especially, you think about it, you currently just kind of swapped out Vinette for Ebron in terms of depth chart purposes. So I really think Gentry's the guy, and I'm hoping he can develop into something beyond just a poor man's Jesse James. But he's the only one I could see being the one, but I don't really call it a hot seat. I just think of, is he going to be on the practice squad if one of these other two guys beats him out, or can he just be the number three that maybe is inactive or maybe is active and does nothing except special teams?
Yeah, and from there, I mean, there's not much else to say with tight end. Offensive line, I don't know. This is a tough one because – I guess it depends on what happens with this right tackle position. Does Matt Filer remain the right tackle? Does Chukwuemeka, Zach Banner win that position? You're getting toward the end of a rookie contract, maybe with Okorafor. Zach Banner was just a restricted free agent and would have to be extended. Matt Filer, same deal. Restricted free agent, could be playing left guard. That was the first indication, at least, that came out of, these initial talks with how they're going to work with camp and things of that nature. A lot of people just kind of assumed, I think, that Stefan Wisniewski, who was just signed in free agency, would just jump in and play in Ramon Foster's spot. So I guess we'll see what ends up happening there? Wisniewski's not going to have a fire lit under him. If any of these guys does, Alejandro Villanueva, contract year, older guy, you know, I know Pouncey had been getting some flack. David DeCastro is David DeCastro. Those two guys are all pros. They're going to have to, like, really just overnight, you know, it's like the Cinderella thing where it turns into a pumpkin in order for them to no longer be thought of or to be on some type of hot seat. I don't even know that necessarily Villanueva is on a hot seat. It really depends on not only his play, but his future plans. Does he want to continue playing football past this contract? Are the Steelers going to offer him another contract? What is he? He's 31 right now. So he's not ancient by any means. He'll be 32 next year. He doesn't have all of the tread on him from being a pro football player, having, you know, started it later in later years and also converting positions too. So I guess that's the one that's going to be a little more interesting. I know a lot of people, they gripe about the offensive line. We talked about how that was all like a hodgepodge at certain points. And I think, was it like half the season? Was it 8 games, 9 games where they actually had the actual starters? And it wasn't like a consecutive or in a row where it was consistent. And that contributed to a lot of the problems. That's probably why I know a lot of people, we were sitting here scratching our heads. Why didn't B.J. Finney sign with the Seahawks? And it was such a reasonable deal. Why didn't they bring him back? Because they probably didn't feel that they probably felt he was more of the problem than the solution going forward, unfortunately. I felt he was a versatile player. He was solid. He could play center, he could play guard, but you got Stefan Wisniewski, who maybe not as young, but definitely a veteran and probably an upgrade in that aspect, even if he doesn't end up being a starter. So my only guy here is Villanueva, and it's ever so slight right now. We'll have to see how the season goes.
Yeah, I struggle to even put Villanueva on there. I really don't know of any guy that's on the quote-unquote hot seat. You know, I think regardless of how the offensive line shakes out, I think you're going to see a very similar depth chart to what you saw last year. In terms of, you know, Finney leaving, I really think that had more to say. I think we could have figured that out by the Rams game whenever, instead of giving him the start, they moved Filer in and had Shooks become the, you know, starting right tackle. And I really, in my heart of hearts, think that a core four is going to get every opportunity to start, get that right tackle starting spot. Not saying that Zach Banner is not deserving of that spot. I just think there's a lot more questions regarding his athleticism to be able to hold himself one-on-one in pass protection, even with how he's kind of reformed his body and reshaped his body this offseason. I just think the Steelers have a much higher investment with the core four being a third-round pick. I think they're going to want to give him every opportunity to earn that spot. In terms of Wisniewski, I really don't think that he was signed to be the starter. I know all fans think he was. I really think he was just a veteran replacement of B.J. Finney, who honestly I think is an upgrade of a player, Wisniewski is. I think that's really going to be a guy that if you need him to start, he can start. But the Steelers, I think the role is going to be established. He's going to be Marquise Pouncey's backup, which is good because there was always the question of, you know, if Finney were to get, like, who's the backup to Marquise Pouncey if Finney's starting, you know? I think him being there is great, and you're going to have him be a backup for both DeCastro and for whoever the starting left guard ends up being. And obviously you have Kevin Dotson, who is pretty much entrenched as a spot on the roster, and I think we'll have a chance to start, but I think 2021 is his more likely route. But Villanueva, I agree, is like the only guy that I can even consider putting on the hot seat list, but I'm not even going to put him on there because at the end of the day, I think even if he were to call this his last year playing football or even if it's in Pittsburgh, you know, the question is, can a core four bump to left tackle? Do we feel that he's going to, if the Steelers feel that a core four can be the starting left tackle in the future, then I could see them being okay with letting Villanueva go. Or do you try to sign a free agent, or do you try draft a rookie early on next year and hope that he can come in and be the starting left tackle in what might be Ben's last season as a starter in the league? So there's a lot of questions there. And for that, I really think that once upon a time, I was fully for the mindset that Villanueva would be gone after this year. But now, as more time's passed, I think he's going to be back. So I'm not even going to bother putting him on the hot seat because I just think there's – if they're going to draft a rookie, I don't see them wanting to throw a rookie in at left tackle in what could be Ben's last season in the NFL. So I think they would do at least 1 or 2 year deal to keep him around and hope for the best in that term. So
yeah,
I don't know if any guy there.
Yeah, throwing a rookie out there is probably not the best thing to do with a guy that's, you know, trying to win a Super Bowl at the end of his career or late stages of his career. You know, speaking of hot seat, I think there's one guy that put himself on the hot seat in a contract year. We look at the defensive line. Cam Hayward kind of alluded to that he hasn't committed to playing here in the 2020 season amidst the whole coronavirus pandemic. And it's just very interesting to me, a guy that's very much a team leader, captain, et cetera, one of our favorite players here at Steel City Underground. And now all of a sudden you're questioning what's going on here. You know what I mean? I have nothing to say about any of the defensive line. Stephon Tuitt would have to miss a very significant amount of games once again to even be in consideration for that, because then that means he's going to be bouncing back from two seasons where he missed a significant amount of time with a very healthy contract on top of it. We don't know anything about Chris Wormley. I don't even get into some of the guys that are really the backups. I think Tyson Alualu has proved his worth, his value, and he knows his role as far as being with the team. So I'm not going to say whether or not he would be back. Of course, when you're dealing with guys who aren't necessarily starters or full-time starters like a Dan McCullers, is he really on some type of hot seat? You know what I mean? I can't throw any of those guys really on there. There'll be some battles here. Isaiah Buggs, last year's sixth-round pick. You got a seventh-round pick in Carlos Davis. You got Henry Mondow coming back. You got Kayvon Walker from the XFL. And a handful of, you know, other guys that are – it's going to be, you know, the usual camp battles. But for here, you know, most of your most of the guys that are going to make this team are already penciled in their spots. So there's really not any hot seats or any fires that are going to be smoldering.
No, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, barring some unforeseen thing, I mean, you've got your guys. They brought in Wormley. I think they just adds more oxygen to the fire. But, I mean, yeah, Dan McCullers is being signed a one-year deal with more than almost any other player in the NFL, I swear, at this point. And I don't see that changing. I think it's going to continue to be a one-year-to-year guy. And I think they do that in the event that they find someone better that can come along and do that. So I'm not going to say he's on the hot seat. Clearly they've said that we're looking for someone better, but until we find them, we'll bring you back once or twice and keep doing it. Maybe that's Carlos Davis. Maybe that's somebody else, Henry Mondo, but it's not going to be a hot seat type of contention thing. I know fans aren't going to sit there and say McCullers on the hot seat because of the fact that fans have been clamoring for him to be gone now for years, even though I know you and I feel to the contrary, where we think he has a place on the roster for a limited snap type of guy who's kind of flourished with Dunbar becoming the new D-line coach. So I think of all the position groups on the roster, this might be the most set in stone one, barring some freak injury that happens somewhere along the way.
Yeah, and you know, I agree. If we jump over to the linebackers quickly, is anyone on a hot seat here whatsoever? I guess you could say maybe Bud Dupree, because we don't know if there's going to be a long-term deal. We don't know if he's going to replicate the success he had last season. We don't know if it's a wait and see. He's not in any danger of losing his job other than if he goes and signs with another team next year in free agency. You know what I mean? So the proverbial hot seat there, as was the case, I was just saying, you know, Cam Hayward, is whether these guys sign another contract. You know, he's not going to lose his job, Bud Dupree. Even though they brought in Alex Highsmith, it's going to take some while for him to get integrated into this system. TJ Watt is not on any hot seat. He's going to get mega bucks here. It's going to be the deal or no deal. And it's going to be interesting to see how they split it between those two. Devin Bush has his spot. It's really only Vince Williams, and Vince Williams is still under contract for 2 years. But Vince Williams has been Vince Williams. He's kind of the evergreen man. He just doesn't go away. Everyone else that's kind of here in this rotation with the inside and outside linebackers, Ulysses Gilbert will enter his second year. Ola Adene and Tuzar Skipper, both guys that were undrafted that are kind of in this mix. Robert Spillane. You know, there's not any real threats to those top four guys to say that I don't feel any of them are under the hot seat, no matter how you feel if Bud's just on a one-year franchise tag.
Yeah, well, I said the D-line is probably the most set in stone. I stand corrected, honestly, now that I think about the linebacker group, it might be the most set in stone because, I mean, you have your edge rushers. You have Ola Danny, you have Bud Dupree, you have TJ Watt, you have Tazar Skipper and Alex Highsmith. I mean, like, unless they keep four with the expanded roster, I see them keeping more than four just to get more of a rotation. That's when he's got to develop. But you have your top guys there. And honestly, the middle linebacker, I think we're sitting here wondering if there's going to be enough guys to fill out the depth chart, let alone who's not going to make it. You know, Vince Williams has 2 years left, but what competition does he have at this point unless they bring in somebody else? You know, I think Ulysses Gilbert, we all love, and I think there's enough upside to think sit there and think that this guy could be the dude, but he's still going to be a second-year, sixth-round pick. Who I think has a bright future if given the opportunity, but I don't know if it's going to be this year or down the road. And then obviously, you know, Robert Spillane's not a sexy name to really pay attention to, but he was a pretty stout special teams contributor last year And with, you know, guys like Dirty Red and all them gone, you have someone that can sit there and kind of fill that role. All the rest of the names on this list are undrafted guys that are kind of just looking to make the name for themselves and hope to get something stuck. And honestly, with the whole offseason looking differently, I don't think any of them will have a real shot at getting it at this point unless they stick on the special on the practice squad. But, you know, I stand corrected. Linebacker might be the most set in stone position if they choose to keep, you know, 9 or 10 total guys, which they kind of did last year and they have the pension for, especially now with the expanded roster. So it's more so where things are going to lay up in terms of depth chart, not really who's going to be gone after this year.
Yeah, well, the secondary is even more interesting in that regard because, you know, there's Joe Hayden. What else can you say about Joe Hayden? We were just talking on about the previous show how CBS Sports had ranked him as the third corner. If you didn't see that, Zach, third. They had Marcus they had Marcus Peters as number two. And then, of course, Stephon Gilmore was number one. I think Joe may have been high. I think Peters was high, too, and we talked about that on the last show. But just goes to show that people are recognizing Joe Hayden for who he is, finally. But they're not recognizing Steven Nelson. But trust me, the Steelers brass knows. They know. We know Minka Fitzpatrick. A lot of people dog Terrell Edmonds, former first-round overall pick. He does what he does, unless he gives up a lot of big plays. Come on, I don't think he's going anywhere until maybe his rookie deal's out as well. They may start to look at other options, but there's nothing else here on the depth chart really that would indicate otherwise with Marcus Allen and or Jordan Dangerfield, who have both been guys who have been released, brought back, practice squad, et cetera, back to the active roster. Mike Hilton is a guy that, once again, had to sign a tender, and Cam Sutton, he's a guy that's entering a contract season, the final year of his rookie deal, too. I wanted to bring this up, too, Zach, because he's another member, Sutton is, of that 2017 class of Kevin Colbert can't draft. So you got already on this show, we've talked about TJ Watt, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Conner, and Cam Sutton, the first four picks of that 2017 draft, and all guys who have been contributors. So I think it more or less it comes down to money. I mean, you can't pay everyone. That's the problem right now with the salary cap. So that's really all it boils down to when it comes to Mike Hilton. And when it comes to Terrell Edmonds, they're not going to pay somebody else. So they would have to draft someone else. They did not. Terrell Edmonds, I think, is safe for this season. I don't even see who he could get benched for unless they did something, unless they made like some sort of trade. And no, it won't be for either of the guys from the New York Jets.
Yeah, the cornerback position, I think, again, not really a hot seat type of scenario, more of I think the room could look very different in a year. I really think, you know, people are talking about Cam Sutton automatically getting paid. I don't know if he doesn't get more exposure snap count wise to other teams. I don't know how much he's going to get in terms of big time money. You know, if a team pays him a lot, it's going to be because they saw enough tape or, you know, Cam Sutton was in the game and they burned their offense. And he's like, we need that guy. Kind of like what we see Mike Tomlin do with some of these guys they pick up late in the process. I think he's going to be under a lot of pressure to perform. And I really think how the usage between Sutton and Hilton is going to be what's the most noteworthy thing in the secondary, because obviously you have Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson. Those are your guys, point blank period, barring injury. And, you know, Justin Lane, I think, has about another year before we start sitting there saying, well, is this guy going to make the jump or not? I'm not going to sit there and say a guy who was a raw third round pick who I thought would have gone earlier and he doesn't perform in a second year, we're going to call him a bust. I think we knew what we were getting with Lane. It's just a matter of, can he take the strides we want to see some development and progression? But he's not in the hot seat. He has a roster spot. You know, so really, the depth chart in terms of this year is set, but Sutton and Hilton are both going to be playing for contracts. And I don't know if they're going to be playing for Pittsburgh to get a contract. I think they're going to keep one. You can't keep both, in my mind, unless one of them takes a disgustingly team-friendly deal, which I think Cam Sutton, if he even sniffs a little bit of money in free agency, I think he's going to take it, especially if it's going to guarantee him more playing time with other team. And that's why I really think that Hilton is the more likely choice to stay long-term, and Sutton will be the one that goes. Even though I love to see Sutton stakes, I think he brings versatility. I think he brings inside-outside versatility. I think he can play him at safety if you need to. And he's just a very smart football player who I think we kind of start to see come into his own a little bit last year. And if that continues to progress, I think he plays himself out of Pittsburgh. I think he gets a starting gig someplace. He knows there's not going to be one here as long as Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson are on the roster. And then at safety, I mean, unless you want to be a contrarian and say for some unforsaken reason, Minka Fitzpatrick's on the hot seat, just to be, you know, an idiot, you can go ahead and say that. But he's Minka Fitzpatrick might have the most secure position on the team outside of TJ Watt in terms of playing time. Yeah. Terrell Edmunds fans can bash him all they want to. I think even if Antoine Brooks proves a little bit of usefulness on defense, Terrell Edmunds is still going to be a starter in some capacity. You know, Antoine Brooks, I think as a sixth rounder is going to have some, you know, interesting ways of making the roster, but I still think he has enough to warrant special teams usage. And then it comes down to, you know, you got guys like Jordan Dangerfield pushing for spot. But honestly, the safety group is surprisingly thin, especially when you look at Marcus Allen. I think Marcus Allen, if you want to look at one DB who's on the hot seat, I think it's Marcus Allen. Because I think Jordan Dangerfield has enough usefulness on special teams and he knows the system. He's been around a lot. I think he has an inside route of making the team. If Antoine Brooks can prove that he's more than just a sixth-round safety and Marcus Allen doesn't finally take a step forward, I think Marcus Allen's on the hot seat. I'm only saying that because he's been a name that for the last 2 years now, us and other people have talked about him. Maybe this is the year he kind of becomes like a dimebacker. Maybe he kind of pushes Edmunds for some playing time and strong safety. You know, he was a practice squad player that got beat out by a guy from the AAF last year. I know they were different positions. But I just, in my mind, I think if we had to pick one guy, Marcus Allen is on the hot seat. I think if he doesn't do it this year, the only thing he has saving him is the fact that there isn't that much depth at safety on this roster. But I really think that the Steelers are going to lose patience with him quickly if he doesn't start proving that he can do something other than just be a thumper that kind of is a liability in space. I'm hoping that he does well because I was pulling for Marcus Allen when the Steelers drafted him, even though I'm not a big Penn State guy. But I think that he is getting to the point where if he doesn't make enough strides forward as a developmental mid-round guy, you're not going to have a spot for him on the roster. If you have some other guys you think are more intriguing, you might have higher upside down the road.
Yeah, I totally agree with that as well. And it's just, you know, they have another guy there that they got in Tyree Cannell from another XFLer. I don't know. Does it have the Cam Kelly effect again? I have no idea. So we'll find out, I guess. And then as far as your specialists are concerned, there's really only one guy on the hot seat. We know who it is. It's Jordan Berry. So myself and Brian, we just talked about that a little bit on one of these recent episodes, Zach. And we basically said there's someone coming into camp once again. And, you know, if Berry's inconsistent, it's one of those positions just like – any of these other ones where you only keep one guy on the roster, it could be at a blink of an eye. Kicker, punter. Brian said it eloquently. If your job is to make contact with the football with your actual foot, your job's pretty much always in jeopardy. And I don't know, a lot of people would have said that about Chris Boswell the year before, but I think he's gotten a reprieve and the attention has finally come off of him. And, you know, some of that attention was because he had just signed a large contract, and whether he was injured or not, missing some of those field goals, you know, who's to say, but he rebounded somewhat last year. I don't know that he had a whole lot of opportunities to show that he was the man outside of a game or two, but he still looked like the old Chris Boswell. I know people, once they get that in the back of their head, it's mental. It's mental with the kickers. It's mental with the fans. You're watching it and you're like holding your breath. You know what I mean? So it's always something where it could be, you know, you snap your fingers and that guy's gone. I just think Jordan Berry's the one that a lot of people have had some ire with over the years. I still think he was better than many of the guys that preceded him, and that's the reason he's been here so long. We'll wait and see if the latest guy, Corliss Waitman, who comes into camp, is going to be the one to bump him off the roster.
Yeah, Corliss Waitman's an interesting guy. I got a chance to watch a little bit of him, but not a whole lot, you know, because you'll excuse me, I don't watch, you know, punter and kicker tape very much when doing my
pre-draft. Or South Alabama.
Or South Alabama, for that matter, either, yeah. I think the last one was Gerald Everett, and that was one because he was being talked about as a top-tier guy. But, you know, I just think realistically, Corliss Waitman is a camp body who is probably auditioning for another team. And I know Berry gets a lot of slack. The thing is with Berry is not his talent, because when he makes connection with the ball, he's good. It's the consistency at a position where consistency might be more important than it is at any other position, especially when you're only touching the ball a handful of times a game, if that, depending on how the course of the game goes. You know, it's fine and great if you have 2 to 3 great kicks, but if you have 2 to 3 very below average or even, you know, terrible kicks, those are going to stand out in everyone's mind when you're only touching the ball 5-6 times a game max. And I think that's where the issue comes with him. If he can get some semblance of consistency. I mean, the guy had a 70-yard punt last year, if I'm not mistaken. That doesn't just happen on accident. There comes with some level, you know, he is effective enough at times to go and pin the ball deep. I think, you know, that the good punts get forgotten, the bad ones are the ones that stand out. And if he can be more consistent, he's fine. But I think until he finds that consistency, which I know fans are going to look at and say, well, we're looking at a 29, almost 30-year-old kicker. If he doesn't have, he doesn't have it, which I don't disagree with. Until they get someone that can come in here and completely blow him out of the water, Jordan Berry is going to be your punter. Maybe that's Corliss Waitman. I'm not holding my breath. But I think Berry just needs to find some consistency, and hopefully he does that, because the good punts are good. And if you say they're not, you're just trying to say he's not, just to sit there and continue to be in a yinzer that says that, you know, Berry sucks, need to find a new guy. He's good enough when he's on. It's just he's not on all the time. And I don't see Corliss Waitman changing that unless he comes in and just blows him out of the water. I think this will be a yearly thing where they keep looking for bodies to bring in to camp to push Berry to see if he can get consistent. And every year Berry steps up to the challenge and wins the job. So I don't see that changing this year. And the only other guy I can think of would be Cam Canada. I don't think he's going anywhere. And unless Christian Kuntz comes out of nowhere and, you know, starts snapping on balls on lasers, it's his job. And obviously Boswell might be the most secure specialist on the roster at this point. So
that's a lot to say about specialists, but I appreciate it, because kickers and punters, yes, there are people too. There are people, you know, I sympathize with the kickers and punters, just like you are the, you and Brian think the offensive linemen are all sexy. So, well, I got more for you. There's bonus round here, even though we're up against it. I digress. Mike Tomlin on the hot seat. No.
No,
not a chance.
No, Injuries can say he is. He's not.
Keith Butler. This was everyone's favorite guy to fire heading into last season.
No,
not a chance.
I think his hot seat is the fact that is he going to come back and not retire? That's his hot seat.
Randy Fittner.
Yes, ooh. I'm going to say yes, but not because I think last year was, again, just a calamity of errors on everyone's part. You know, I don't think even the greatest coordinating minds could potentially pull out some of what the Steelers were dealing with on offense last year, especially when you look at the quarterback situation. My issue with him is just the fact that he didn't seem to want to trust Duck or Mason for whatever reason. I think that if, you know, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's going into his last year under contract with the team. I think if he doesn't pick it up, the only thing that would save him would be his relationship with Ben. You don't want to give Ben a new coordinator in what might be his last year either. So honestly, if Fiedner comes back, he might realistically have Ben to thank for that. Because you don't want to give your future Hall of Fame quarterback in his last potential year as a pro a new coordinator that he doesn't know, doesn't trust, and has to work with. And if they went in-house, I could see it being someone like Matt Canada, which is very preemptive considering the fact that we haven't seen him do a single thing with the team yet, even though I believe he'll have some influence. And being a true quarterback coach for the first time since the Steelers haven't had a true quarterback coach in a while will help him. But Fiedner, I think, is on the hot seat. I think he has to step up last year. I think 2018, you know, no one was really complaining about him as much. So hopefully he can get back to that route and be at least enough to allow the talent on that offensive side of the ball to be healthy and actually do something productive with what he has.
You know, they could just bring back Todd Haley. It's not bringing back a new guy. It's an old guy that Ben's familiar with.
I heard Ben loves him.
Yes, love is the key word there, right? That was the word that popped in my head first. Actually, other words popped into my head. Was that the Colts game? I think. Where they caught Ben they were mouthing something, and Todd Haley mouthed something on the sideline. It was pretty much F you, Ben, I believe, if I remember correctly. So, so yeah, definitely. It's just like a family. They fight. We fight. You know, everybody ends up getting along. I don't know. I think Todd's probably happy just having the radio job and helping some high school kids. Well, prior, I don't know how that's going to work for you guys in Pennsylvania or Western Pennsylvania when it comes to high school sports. Already hearing that they want everybody to wear a mask. You got, yes. You got the Big Ten going to conference only, and Ivy League pulling this, and other conferences doing that. And it's just, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, there's an NFL season, because otherwise, we'll just have to come back to this same episode and find out who's on the hot seat for 2021. But I digress. We're up against it. Thanks for joining me again, Zach. And I missed you, buddy. So don't make it too far and few in between for the next one.
It's always a pleasure to be back. Thanks for having me on here. And, you know, hopefully we have some semblance of football here because Lord knows I'm deprived at this point. So,
yeah, deprived, depressed, and need. And that's usually when we know football season's going to happen and just around the corner. It's like, it's too much time in between. You know, there's four seasons, right? There's what? Yeah. There's winter, there's spring, there's summer, and then there's football. That's the way it works in our household too, buddy. So anyways, that is Zach. My name's Joe. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And we encourage all the listeners out there until next time to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.